Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Meliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio as the Blackhawks get whitewashed in Vegas 4-0, wrapping up this mini two-game road trip. Let's head right back to T-Mobile Arena and bring in Steve Conroy. Steve, it's my understanding that you have a red-eye flight, so I'm not going to keep you too long here, but I am going to ask you, what did you think about this uninspiring effort, particularly in the first period for the Blackhawks? I thought things just got away from them early on.
Yeah, that's basically where they lost the hockey game. I think of the coaching staff, if you talk to them, they wouldn't have been happy with that first 20 minutes. After that, I give them credit. They fought back, not that they scored any goals, but they started to tilt the ice in their favor. I think the fact that they played, you know, I think it was 9 games in 17 days since the Olympic break, and literally traveling between each of those games to a different city. Twice they were in Chicago, but they weren't back-to-back games. They were actually on the road and then came back to Chicago. And then, of course, out to Utah a couple of separate times. That's a 3.5-4-hour flight. So I'm not making excuses for the team, but that's a lot of travel in a short amount of time, and they're still 3-2-2, I believe, in their last 7 games. So, you know, not half bad. Every once in a while you're going to have a clunker, and this was certainly one of those clunkers.
You know, I talked about it in one of the intermissions, but the Blackhawks had an off day yesterday in Vegas. They were originally scheduled to practice, but I think after the big win that they had on Thursday, Jeff Blashill rewarded the team with an off day in Vegas yesterday, warm location, and I when you were a player and coaches did that, how much was it kind of hey, let's make sure that we're on our A game for this next one to reward the coach for giving us that off day? Like, it's got to be a give and take, right?
Oh, that's a big part of it, and it works both ways too, because, you know, I think before the game you might be thinking, listen, we're going to be in Vegas for a couple of days. If we win this game, it'll be 2 wins in a row. Maybe we get the day off. And I think that's exactly what happened, and they get the day off. And some guys did go out and golf, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you're right. It does work the other way, and you've got to try to repay the coaching staff. It's like, hey, we appreciate the time off. It's been a tough year. It's been a long year. It's been a compressed year, and the effort, I think, just wasn't there in the first period. I saw it in the second and third. Didn't see it right away. What was the excuse for that? I guess we'll have to wait and listen to Jeff Blashill in his postgame comments.
Hawks lost the special teams battle in this one, which is rare for them to lose both sides. Power play went 0-for-4. Penalty kill, they went 3-for-5. Just what did you see from the special teams? It feels like if you lose the special teams battle, you're likely going to lose the game.
Yeah, it wasn't one of my keys tonight, but it normally is one of the keys. You know, it didn't help. Louis Crevier took the first penalty of the game. He's in the penalty box. He's a huge penalty killer. He's typically out there for a minute, minute 20. You know, Artie Levchinov's out there, and he's been doing a good job, but maybe not used to, you know, starting the kill. Then they score right away. And that just gives the other team confidence, not only in the game, but confidence in their power play also. And then the power play for the Blackhawks, I don't know if you've got the shots there, but I literally counted, I think, 2, maybe 3 shots on the power play. And for 3 power plays, that's not very good. You should be averaging 2 and 3 shots. If you're not scoring, 2 and 3 shots over those 2 minutes. And that certainly wasn't the case. So they got to go back to work on that. You know, I just like to see them shoot the puck a little more. At times, it looked like they were overpassing. I looked at what the Vegas Golden Knights were doing, and it was just, you know, shooting, retrieving pucks, and doing it all over again. And I think the Blackhawks can take a page out of that Vegas playbook.
Last one for you. It was a feisty game between the two teams, and we've seen Connor Bedard go at it over the last couple games. Last one with Mackenzie Weegar. In this game, you saw him take a big hit, but he was also involved in a scuffle. Like, do you like seeing that, where you want to set the tone, even in a 4-0 loss, you want to make sure that you're not going away easily?
Well, for sure. You know, what I don't like is, and I don't think it's any secret, that, you know, you've got to be hard on Connor Bedard to try and shut him down. But the thing with the Blackhawks is they used to have some deterrents. You know, Nick Foligno was definitely a deterrent. Even Colton Dock was a deterrent when he was on this team. Connor Murphy was a deterrent. He was willing to drop the gloves. He'd come to somebody's aid right away. Right now, the Blackhawks don't have really somebody who fits that bill, that mold. And I think that's really important. I talked about it to John Weideman before the game. I call them lion tamers. And, you know, I played with a number of great lion tamers in my life, and Bob Probert probably the best. And he took care of Steve Yzerman. And he didn't even have to be on the ice. And, I mean, he was. And Bob Probert scored almost 40 goals one year. But just seeing that guy sitting on the bench, you know that you weren't going to mess with Steve Yzerman. The Blackhawks, I think, need a guy like that, so nobody's messing with Connor Bedard.
All right, well, I'm not going to mess with you and your scheduling here. So I'm going to send you off. Make sure you get on that flight, and we'll talk again on Tuesday. We're back at the United Center.
All right, that sounds great, Charlie. Thank you.
All right, that's Steve Conrad over at T-Mobile Arena. The Blackhawks were shut out by the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0. You know, coming into this game, Vegas was coming off the last 19 games, which is a 19-game stretch since January 19th, so almost a two-month span. The Vegas Golden Knights had been 6-11-2 over those 19 games. This is going into tonight. During that stretch, 14 points over that span, which ranked 29th in the entire NHL, minus 7 goal differential over that stretch. In the previous 47 games, the Vegas Golden Knights were 24-11-12, 60 points, which ranked 8th in the NHL, plus 19 goal differential over that stretch. Now, if you rewind even further to that 19-game stretch that I just mentioned, the Vegas Golden Knights coming into tonight had just 2 wins versus playoff teams since November 20th. That's 4 months, just 2 wins against upper echelon teams. So Vegas does a pretty good job at kind of beating up on the bottom feeder teams, but they haven't been able to play up to the level of their competition. This was one of those where this was one of those games where Vegas looked like they were very clearly the better team, and the Vegas Golden Knights team that we've been used to seeing over the last several years. I mean, really, ever since they entered the league in 2017, I feel like the Vegas Golden Knights have been just always kind of in the mix of the upper echelon teams in the Western Conference, Stanley Cup contenders, right? And so this was them flexing their muscles. And this was a Chicago team that kind of looked overmatched at times. And it really started with that first period, Hawks giving up 3 goals, and then obviously losing the special teams battle. As far as the special teams battle, I did want to kind of mention a stat here. Hawks gave up 2 power play goals against the Golden Knights. This is the first time since December 7th, 2025, of course, so a few months ago, that the Hawks have given up more than 1 power play goal in a game. This is the third time all season the Hawks have done that. The Hawks came into this game with the top-ranked penalty kill in the entire NHL at 85.6%. So this is kind of a rare off night in the penalty kill department for the Blackhawks. And so, and then you look at the power play, of course, that hasn't been an area of consistency for Chicago in the last couple months of the season. We did see coming out of the Olympic break, the Hawks went 4 straight on the road by scoring a power play goal, but it hasn't quite looked, it hasn't quite looked like the power play was turning a corner on a consistent basis. So that's certainly something that the Hawks are going to have to clean up moving forward. But yeah, just kind of a rare off night in the special teams department, specifically the penalty kill department for the Blackhawks, and Vegas Golden Knights really flexing their muscles against a Blackhawks team that is obviously still trying to get to where Vegas has been over the last several years. We're waiting on some sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room, and we'll hear what some of the guys had to say when it does roll in, when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show continues on after this on 720 WGN.
McKayev, he'll turn and gun it on goal. Stick save by Hill. 3 seconds, 2-1, and the Vegas Golden Knights have shut out the Blackhawks here tonight, 4-0. Aiden Hill, who really didn't have a full night's work, in my opinion, faced 20 shots by the Blackhawks. He did stop them all. And he'll pick up the win for the Golden Knights, who now with the win see their record run to 31-22-14. While with this loss, the Blackhawks are now 25-30-11.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks shut out by the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0. It's the fifth time this season the Blackhawks have been shut out in a game. That was Aiden Hill's first shutout of the season for the Vegas Golden Knights. He has missed a large chunk of the season with an injury, but he had not been a particularly strong goaltender coming into this contest. 7-6-3 record, which seems fine, but his save percentage was .864 coming into this game. Prior to his last start tonight, just one of his previous 12 starts, he had a save percentage of in the 900s or better. So, I'm sure that's a confidence boosting win for Aiden Hill. Gets a 21 save shutout against the Blackhawks. Let's hear what Alex Vlasic had to say following his team's performance in Vegas.
Every game since the Olympic break, just what went wrong today?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, we started well enough, pretty evidently. You know, they jumped on us quick, and, you know, a good team like that, they're hard to, hard to compete with once they get a lead. So we got to make sure we're coming out a little better.
Is there something defensively that had been clicking the past 2 weeks that wasn't as effective tonight or anything?
I mean, I think they're a team that gets a lot of shot volume from the point. You know, two of their goals were scored from just, throwing things at the net, both tips and sticks. So I think, yeah, like you said, we've been doing a good job, and tonight just wasn't our best.
I know everyone's dealing with it, but you guys had a lot of games in a short amount of time, a lot of travel. Are you feeling that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, it's a league-wide thing, so I don't think it's an excuse in our heads. You know, every team's dealing with it, so we got to make sure that we're, taking care of ourselves and making sure that we're 100% for each game.
It really seems like these games are getting scrappier and scrappier. It's just like what you guys are now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, we talked about it, just sticking up for each other, being a team that's not going to take anything. Obviously, Bedzie getting into it, Deli jumping in there. We had a lot of scrums, like you said. So it's something that we take pride in as a team. We want to make sure that we're sticking up for each other and stepping in when it needs to be done.
Unfortunate for Artie that goal didn't count, but I know he's been working on this shot a lot. Have you seen it improve?
Yeah, definitely. I thought he played really well tonight. He had just before that goal, he made a really nice pass to me, came off the bench, and he saw me coming somehow. So, yeah, he's been playing really well. I think his shot, like you said, is great, and he's definitely putting in the work.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic talking about how the Vegas Golden Knights are a really good team when they're holding a lead, or when they jump out to a lead. And of course, when you spot them a 3-0 lead in the first period that early, certainly it's going to be really difficult to come back from. And so, that's a tough loss for the Blackhawks. Teuvo Teravainen, didn't get on the score sheet in this one. He did have a penalty. He logged 17 minutes and 30 seconds of ice time. Didn't have a shot on goal either, but let's hear what Teravainen had to say after this game.
You guys have been in just every game since the Olympic break. What wasn't there tonight?
Bad start. Just need to win more puck battles. Make some plays when we can. We need a better start.
Seems like there's been a lot of scrums and stuff the past few games. Have you guys been trying to kind of make yourself known more after the whistle and that sort of thing?
We're not trying to like start anything. We just fight for teammates and battle for teammates. So yeah, that's what's been happening maybe more lately.
He's been on the road a lot since the break, a lot of games in a short amount of time. Are you starting to feel that a little bit?
I feel like all year it's been a lot of games, so it's just the same. Just gotta make sure you're ready for the next one.
I mean, you with the Olympics, obviously you didn't get that 2 weeks off. Do you feel that maybe more than the other guys are, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, hard to tell, but I feel fine. I feel fine.
All right, Teuvo Teravainen, a man of many words. Hawks lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0. I did want to get back to something that Alex Vlasic said about Artem Levshinov, and it really is unfortunate that Levshinov had that goal taken away early in the third period. It would have been his third of the season, because one of the things that the Blackhawks skills coaches, particularly with Brian Kane, has been working on is with Levshinov's shot. That was kind of when Levshinov was a healthy scratch for the last few games going into the Olympic break. And then something that they were working on him with during that kind of post-Olympic mini training camp. It was unfortunate because I feel like that goal if it stood, would have done a lot for Levchinov's confidence. You can even see in the way that he celebrated, kind of like a little bit of a relief. And then that play gets overturned because of a missed stoppage for a hand pass. And I want to actually dive into the hand pass really quick. And I know this did not have any impact on the outcome of the game whatsoever, but I do just kind of want to share my thoughts. This is the second time this season that the Blackhawks have had a goal overturned because of a missed stoppage that was directly from a hand pass. If you remember, it was December 10th against the New York Rangers. The Blackhawks had a goal overturned because Colton Dock ended up falling down behind the net. He kind of scoops the puck and like passes it to himself. And he's trying to, he goes to settle the puck. He's on his behind. And so he tries to like guide the puck to kind of stop from bouncing. And Ilya Mikheyev goes to pick up the puck after he goes to settle it down. Well, Colton Dock like swipes at the puck and he ends up missing it. And so Mikheyev takes it. It ends up leading to a Blackhawks goal and it gets overturned because Colton Dock never actually touched the puck with his stick when he tried to settle the puck down. And then in this situation tonight, you saw Ryan Green trying to catch the puck that was in the air. And he didn't even catch it and like drop it. It just like hit his glove and then falls onto the ice. There are four players around the scrum and Connor Bedard just swoops in and grabs the puck because it never hit anything and no one skate. And then it obviously leads to Artem Levchinov's goal. And both of those plays that I just laid out get overturned. And again, this isn't even a Chicago, like it went against Chicago kind of thing. It's just kind of like an embarrassing rule in the NHL that it like violates the spirit of what the hand pass rule is intended to be in there for, is to actually like prevent guys from actually hand passing it to their teammates. But when it just like hits off a glove randomly and then their teammate goes and picks it up, like, could you imagine if that call if this call today happened in game 7 in the Stanley Cup final, and you have like casual hockey fans that are tuned in and you have to explain to them why that was no goal for the team that scored. Like, it's just a bad look. And so I wonder, and I don't know if they're going to rewrite it to make it more subjective, but it was just kind of a weird play. Like, even if it happened on Vegas's end, like if you flip the teams and this happened to Vegas and the Hawks end up challenging for a missed stoppage, you'd be like, oh, great, great on the video coaches for recognizing it. But also like, man, that definition of the hand pass rule really has to change, because I don't know how you can objectively watch that play develop and think like that's actually a hand pass. So the officials made the right call by definition. It was certainly a hand pass, but I think they should definitely change the rule and the definition of the actual hand pass rule. All right, I'll get off my soapbox now. The Hawks get shut out by the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including we'll hear from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill coming up on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks, a goose egg in Vegas, 4-0 loss to Vegas, wrapping up a mini two-game road trip as the Blackhawks fly back to Chicago tomorrow. They're going to stay one more night in Vegas and then fly back tomorrow in the morning. Time now for tonight's, or maybe this morning's ice times, now that we record this at 12:15 in the morning, are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Artem Levchinov led the way for the Blackhawks in the minutes department, 23 minutes and 55 seconds. Again, he had a goal taken off the board because of the hand pass. Also finished with, he had registered four hits in this game, which led, it was tied for led all Blackhawks, but it was tied for most among all skaters. Let's see who was second. Alex Vlasic was second at 21:18. It was Tyler Bertuzzi at 22 minutes and 5 seconds. Then it was Alex Vlasic at 21:18. So those three led the way. And then Matt Grzelcyk, I believe, was the only other player on the Blackhawks that had more than 20 minutes of ice time. He clocked in at 20 minutes and 25 seconds. All right, Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill just spoke to the media a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say following his team's performance.
Seemed like a night where there was effort, but just not a lot of execution.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it a little bit. I give Butch and their staff and their team lots of credit. I thought they played a really good game. I know they've kind of, ground out, kind of been grinding out a little bit here, but they played a really, really good game. They were on top of it, and I didn't think we were quite on top of our game. Execution certainly wasn't there, so then you don't have the puck enough, and then you got to defend, and they're a good hockey team. So I thought, and then you lose the special teams battle. All those things kind of add up. It's a hard way to win on the road. So we'll regroup and get back after Tuesday.
A lot of games, a lot of travel in a short amount of time here. I know everyone's dealing with it, but do you think they're feeling that a bit?
I think you go through games where you feel it, and there's games then where you have better. It's just the energy levels are going to kind of ebb and flow a little bit, and sometimes you're just a little bit step slow. And so it's part of what we've talked about. It's part of the growth. And, we obviously don't want to get down 3-0. I thought we had some chances to score. We didn't score. And so it's always hard when you can't put those on the board, because it just gets your energy levels back up, so it's part of the grind that we're going to have to deal with here.
You guys have been feisty all year, but it seems like lately, really scrappy out there. Is that just kind of becoming this identity a little bit?
Well, I think so. I think it's just something we've talked a lot about, and making sure that we're looking after each other. And, and if you're going to be a team that wins, you got to be a team that's willing to sacrifice for each other. And there's a lot of different ways to sacrifice, and but you certainly got to be a team that's willing to sacrifice for each other, and that's a part of the identity that we're building.
Seeing that when you're down 4-0, is that encouraging as a coach that they're still doing that?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't quit, you want to make sure you still have a ton of fight in your guys, and regardless of the score. And I thought we continued to show a fight in the game.
You talked about Lifeson working on his shot, and I said that goal didn't count, but do you feel like his shot has improved?
I do think his shot's improved. I think it's something that can continue to improve. I think, he's got a lot of hours in the summer to really make it elite, but I definitely have seen signs of it improving. And part of it's just the mentality to shoot it as hard as you can, which he did on that one.
Zell broke up a breakaway. He stopped a 3-on-1. Have you liked what you've seen of him since he's been back?
Yeah, no, he's done a good job. He's been, I think he went down, got his swagger and confidence back. I think that's probably one of the biggest pieces of it. And with that, he's kind of carried that forward through the majority of these games here.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. He's talking about how the effort was there, but the execution was not for the Blackhawks. And that might be a good way to sum it up, because it feels like from the second period and on, at least, the Hawks definitely had the effort, but the execution wasn't there. First period, I thought it was just a sleepy start for the Blackhawks. It was all Vegas in that opening frame. And, I know the Hawks maybe had an opportunity. Like Frank Nazar had a nice burst of speed with midway through the first period, but overall it felt like Vegas was really the aggressors in that first. I mentioned the ice times, kind of the guys that were on the upper echelon for the Blackhawks. The players though that were on the lower end of it, Sam Lafferty had 5 minutes and 55 seconds, Landon Slaggart 8:38, but the guy that I want to highlight right now, Nick Lardis, was at 8:44. I mean, I'm not exactly sure why it was necessary for the Blackhawks to call up Nick Lardis if he's only going to get 9-10 minutes a game, and in this case tonight it was eight. In the four games that he's played now after tonight, in the previous three games he had 12:08 against Utah on Thursday, only 7 minutes and 18 seconds of ice time against Utah on Monday, and then last Sunday in the game against the Dallas Stars, he had 10:08. So he's playing on the fourth line right now. I would like to see him get more minutes, and not just top 9 minutes, more top 6 minutes. Cause I feel like prior to the trade deadline, when the Blackhawks had Jason Dickinson and they had each line had an identity. Third line was the shutdown line. Fourth line was the energy line. Top six were the scoring lines. I would like to see Nick Lardis on one of the two top lines, and you might have to reconfigure the lines in a weird way where the lines that I have projected right now, how I would maybe experiment them moving forward, is reuniting Tyler Bertuzzi and Connor Bedard on the first line. Maybe you keep Andrei Burakovsky on the right wing. Hang with me though, because I might change this. Second line, Teravainen, Nazar, and Lardis. So maybe Lardis with Nazar and Teravainen, where you have Teravainen playing on the left wing so he can set up a guy like Nick Lardis, who's really good at that one-timer on the right side. And then in the third line, I would like to see Ryan Green centering the third line with Mikheyev and Donato, and maybe making that the checking line, because I feel like Ryan Green is probably going to be better suited long term in that third line checking role. So might as well do it now. I know Ryan Green has been really good with Connor Bedard and you don't want to separate them, but I think it would just maybe balance out the lines a little bit better, and it would put Nick Lardis in a more offensive position. Now, the reason I said pause on the Andrei Burakovsky, I also wouldn't be opposed to flip-flopping Burakovsky and Lardis in these potential pairing or in these potential lines, where you can go Bertuzzi, Bedard, Lardis, then you can go Teravainen, Nazar, and Burakovsky if you just want to separate them and just try to get a little bit of a different feel on the right wing of Connor Bedard, of Connor Bedard, since Burakovsky has kind of been really streaky, really kind of quiet offensively over the last several weeks. And so just a thought, like I just feel like Nick Lardis had that power play opportunity in the third period. I think he had three shot attempts on it. And I saw Nick Lardis kind of like throwing his body around today. And even the last couple games, he's been really trying to play more of a fourth line role. And I just think he's getting away from identity by doing that. Like, I would like to maybe see the Blackhawks get him some more top 6 minutes. And so we'll see if the Hawks make those adjustments. I know we're going to talk about it in a year on the other side of the break, but Anton Frandell is likely coming soon. Like, next year, Roman Kantsdorf is going to be part of the mix. So there are going to be options in the top six. So the Hawks are definitely going to have to just get through the rest of this season. But I want, like, when you call up a guy like Nick Lardis and take him away from the first line in Rockford, I don't know if it necessarily makes sense to stash him on the fourth line. So maybe the Hawks change things up line-wise in the next game against the Minnesota Wild. One more break, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0, and are going to be looking to bounce back tomorrow. They're going to have an off day as they travel back to Chicago, and then Monday they will return to practice before the next game on Tuesday. Time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. An update on number 3 overall pick Anton Frandell, who scored his 20th goal of the season today, which was the regular season finale. He is the fourth 18-year-old in Swedish Hockey League history to hit the 20-goal mark, joining Thomas Sandstrom, Marcus Naslund, and Daniel Sedin. How about that? Pretty good company. And I imagine we're going to see him fairly soon, depending on how far his team goes into the playoffs. I know he's somewhere in between 7 and 10. The first round series is a best of 3. So something to monitor. We could be seeing Anton Frandell in the very near future. Time now for a next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action, hosting the Minnesota Wild at the United Center on Tuesday. It's an early 6:30 start, 6 o'clock pregame show, because it's the first of a TNT doubleheader. How about that? We're on the first slate, not the second. And former Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno is making his return to Chicago. I imagine the Hawks are going to honor him in some way with a video tribute or some sort of acknowledgement during the first TV timeout. And I think he's going to get a really nice ovation. The Minnesota Wild, by the way, man, their record against the Blackhawks has been really good over the last 7 years. In the last 18 games, the Wild are 17-0-1, 63 goals for, 31 against, for a plus 32 goal differential in their last 18 games against the Blackhawks. The last time the Hawks beat Minnesota in regulation, December 15th, 2019. So, boy, Hawks have not had much success against the Minnesota Wild, but I imagine they're going to come out hungry against their old buddy Nick Foligno when he comes to Chicago on Tuesday at the UC. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for the broadcast tonight, this morning. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Tony DeNardis. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call from Vegas, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 4-0 loss to the Golden Knights. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday from the UC.